Well, I'm not alone. It feels really close now. I thought I gave you guys a lot of space, but if I fall backwards, I'm going to be caught. It's good to be back with you guys. Will I? No, not there. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. You guys, I was so blessed to lead a team into Puerto Rico for the last several weeks. We arrived home on Tuesday of this week, so most of us are feeling like we're back on Idaho time. It helped, actually, springing forward this morning actually helped us because it gave us like an hour back towards where our bodies were already calibrated. So we took a team of 13 people down there. Initially, there was three of us that went down a week ahead, and we led a workshop for some pastors and leaders, did a lot of networking, visited some churches, spent time with our missionaries, Kevin and Nikki Cooper. And then the rest of the team, 10 more team members, joined us for the second week, and we put on a senior youth retreat for Puerto Rico Christian School. And our purpose in doing that was to come alongside Toa Baja Christian Church, which is a church that we've been in fellowship with, and to support them. They wanted to run this retreat for these senior high schoolers, but they didn't have the staff to do it, and so we were the staff. And so we brought down a group of our youth leaders who have been running summer camps and ministering to the kids here in our church for years now, and we were able to minister to their kids there. And so our presence there was physical, but every single member of this church was present in spirit. Every single one of you was represented by us there. We hope that we did you right through all of that. But your prayer support, your messages of encouragement, and the financial provision that came through this church enabled us to do this. And so we wanted to share with you the fruit that the Lord produced in and through us and in and through the lives of the young people that we were able to minister to. So four of our team of 13 are going to share this morning. They promised me it would be brief, but they learned from me, so we all know what that looks like. They're going to share this morning testimonies of God's grace, his provision, his power, and his salvation. So first off, Katrina is going to come up and share. So if you guys could give her a hand.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thanks, Mom. If you guys don't know me, I'm Katrina. Transform has been my home church since day one, so about 6 years. I serve in multiple different ways here, mostly in the youth ministry, but also in kids ministry and the greeting team. So if you see me by the door, say hello. Before this trip, I had never been on a mission before, so I was really excited that I was given the privilege to go to Puerto Rico and pour into these seniors, create long-term friendships with them. This trip, my main focus was getting to know the girls and creating long-term relationships, mainly it was I was there to help support the main leaders of the Toa Baja Church and the Christian School as well. My main job there was to lead discussion groups and be in the cabins with the girls the whole time. While there, I was able to make a friendship with one of the leaders there, Anna Maria. I was able to get to know her deeper, and I really appreciate her being willing to open her home to us and just being so encouraging and such a light for each and every one of us while we were there. I really got to see God work in many different ways. There's so many things that I could talk about, but Mike only gave me 3 minutes. I really saw God working through this trip in one big way. I got to see God work is when I got to know the girls one-on-one, and I also got to see God working through me. I was really able to connect with them during our group discussions and give them biblical life advice on what's next for them. Another way that I was extremely moved was during one of our worship sessions. One of my girls asked if we could sing Waymaker, so I immediately went and asked Mike if we could put that on the set list, and he did. During that song, we were singing in English and the students were singing in Spanish, and it was just incredible to see all of God's people praising him in different languages, and I really felt the Spirit moving. Going in this retreat, I was very worried that I wouldn't be able to do the things that I was there to do because I hadn't gone to college or done some of the things that these students were going off to do. And I was worried that I wouldn't be able to speak to that. Although throughout the days we were there, God really made his will clear. We had multiple different titles for this retreat, first beginning with what's next for these seniors after they graduate. Then it was follow me in the way that Jesus had his interactions with Peter leading up to his crucifixion, Jesus telling him, follow me. God has showed us while we were there, we just had so many things lining up to show us that God's true purpose was do not be afraid. We had multiple instances where God spoke through us to the students, do not be afraid, lean on God, and he will direct your path. I realized that what God was speaking to them through me was exactly what I needed to hear. I would just like to say a huge thank you to everybody that was praying for us during and before and after the trip, and then everyone that had made this possible for us. I loved getting to know everyone there, learning about their culture further. It was amazing to have the opportunity to lead them, but also grow my faith. Thank you.
This isn't intimidating. Well, if you guys don't know me, my name's Seth. I've been going to the church for nearly 5 years now. I'm a former pastoral apprentice alongside Trevor back there. And I do slides once every month. So my role in the outreach is, it was kind of broad. Like, I went into the retreat kind of just asking God, like, you know, God, just place me where I'm needed and where you want me to go. And so my main role was the seniors were really easy to connect with and to integrate with. And so by integrating with them and forming like quick connections like that, like really fast, it gave me the perfect opportunity to encourage, uplift, and pray for the seniors one-on-one. And so, what did I see the Lord do? We had these things called family groups right after every teaching that we had at the retreat. And so we would have a group of seniors. Eli and I had a group of seniors, and each leader had a group of seniors, and we would talk about the message that was given, but and like any questions that they had. But it was also a time to get to know them in a more serious environment. And so we kind of used that to our advantage. We had three of these sessions. The first two, Eli and I, we got to testimonies and just get like just closer to them in a deeper sense because it was more serious. And I think that helped them open up a lot more about God. And then for the third one, we had finished our last conversation, and Eli and I were going to go play with some more seniors that were playing a game, and one of the kids called us back, and he asked us if he could kind of share about himself like for a little bit, and he shared his thoughts and the things that he was going through in his life, and the main thing was that he had he was struggling to find purpose. Even though he had God, he was struggling to find purpose. And as he was sharing his story, all I could think about was how God put me through the things that I went through to be able to minister in that moment, because I saw the similarities between his and my story. And so God put me through those things to minister, especially in that moment. And I think he was crying out to God in that moment. And he was using Eli and I to be able to minister to him. And Eli and I prayed for him after he shared his story. And some of the other leaders or other seniors joined in as well. And after we had prayed, there's a weird, it was like a weird change. Like you could kind of see like in his face that like you could see like like he could see God. Like he saw, like he found his purpose. He found a new light. He tasted and saw that the Lord was good. So I saw God answer his prayers and the questions he had about his life. And I saw God's faithfulness to those who cry out to him. And I'm so grateful that I could be a vessel for God's love there. And so my main takeaway from that retreat, this sounded better when I was putting it together in my head, but so we know that God is an eternal God. He's the beginning and the end. He's never changes. So for us that have received the Holy Spirit, I understand now, and I like, we can always say like we know, but to experience it is something different. And I just understand now that being a Christian isn't just about where God wants you to go. It's about being ready to share God's love whenever and wherever you go. And I just want to thank you, everybody, for just helping this trip happen, whether financially. I know some of the leaders here, we wouldn't have been able to make it. I don't think I would have been able to make it. And for everybody who prayed, God heard those prayers. Because his hand was, it was so easy to see God's hand over this whole thing. And everything was orchestrated so perfectly that it's like man can't do this, you know? Like, so, and also for everybody in Puerto Rico who made that happen, Brian, Anna Maria, for letting us 13 people stay in their house. So, Jose, Anna, and the people that let us stay at the retreat, thank you all.
Hello. Sorry. I kind of feel like I'm in the way of them, but I'll just stand on the side, I guess. No. I'm Elijah Davis. You might know me, maybe, maybe not, hopefully. If you don't, that's my dad. My wife is sitting over here. We're expecting our first baby this coming July. I was gonna make a joke about you guys taking my, like when I started coming, you guys would take my bedroom, but whatever, not as big of a deal. I've been here for about 5 years. This is a whole thing. You should. No. You can ask Mike about that later. Okay, so what did I do? I was a co-leader of the games, me and Joel, who is not here at the moment, but Joel and I led the games. We came up with the ideas. We had a whole night. It was a couple hours of sessions where we just thought through everything that we were going to do. It was a lot of fun. That was kind of my big responsibility, but that was it. And there was only 3 games we needed to prepare for, and they were done lickety-split. So I really had a lot of free time. And in that free time, I just tried my best to be the most extroverted self I could ever be. And if you know me here, I'm honestly not as extroverted here as I am when I'm on a missions trip. Like, I just go off when I'm on a missions trip. So sorry if I don't reach out while I'm here. But while I was there, I met so many of those kids. Me and Seth were in a family group, like he just said. We had 5 boys, and it was about a half an hour gave us to talk to them and share with them. I have 2 of those boys, well, 1 of those boys in our group and another boy I wanted to talk about. So, let me say this. If you know me, if you really know me, you know I really care about young men, and that's like my heart. Youth boys, that's like where I spend my time. Every Monday we have a group, it's just for the youth boys, and it's because I think they need to be invested in. And so I was so excited that 22 of the 33 kids were going to be boys, seniors, who are going into their life. A lot of them were Christians, and so I was so excited to be able to lean in and, like, learn. The first of the boys I wanted to talk about, his name is Jose. He's a twin. He is a goofball. That was the main thing I wrote on there. He doesn't know English super well, so he would just, like, throw out sentences, and we'd all kind of look at him. And the other kids would also look at him like, you don't know what you're saying, bro. And then they say something in Spanish and be like, you're crazy. but he was awesome. He was a goofball. He loved people. He was very intentional. And that's the thing. He was a goofball, but he was, like, so good at, like, being near and just talking. So I shared my testimony with him. That's a whole story. But in that small group, he asked me a question after. And it was about not feeling the presence of God. And that challenge of feeling like he needs to, almost like he's doing something wrong in him because he doesn't feel God's presence when he's in worship or when he's praying or when he's reading the Bible. And I was able to sit and talk with him for 15, 20 minutes or so and talk through that struggle, the reality of it's just a challenge sometimes to not be able to feel God's presence. So that's a whole conversation, but I really believe that God used that time to speak through him. And I saw he really did understand he's might not be doing anything wrong. And sometimes God just, like, weans off like a baby that same presence, and to where we need to pursue him in more discipline and consistency. So with Jose, it was so encouraging. He was such a beautiful kid. Okay, and then another boy, his name was Carlos, but we had two Carloses, so we called him Sosa. I believe that was his last name, or they just made it up. I don't know. Sosa was a warm dude. He was so encouraging. He was so nice. He always had a smile on his face. Everyone knew that he was genuine. That was just, like, obvious by the way he would talk. It's funny. He would dress like one of those boys that's, like, cool and, like, doesn't care. But all the girls would joke about how he does not fit that personality at all. Like, bro is too nice. I got to talk with him a lot. We, like, clicked like that. So he was telling me a story in front of one of the leaders. And while we're at the retreat, you're not supposed to curse or say anything bad, right? And so he was telling me a story about the bathroom. And he just throws out a couple bad words, and then he looks at me, and he's like, oh. And was, like, for the next 5 minutes apologizing. And we just, like, connected like that super quick. I was laughing so hard. It was horrible. But anyways, that friendship just, like, clicked. And it's so weird. Like, that to me never happens. Like, there's every once in a while there's a relationship like that. But it's super rare, and it was really fun. It was, like, really beautiful. I messaged him, and I asked him what his favorite part of the group was, and this is what he said. He said, personally, from my part, it was the way that we all interacted with everyone and not just by ourselves, like, not as a clique, and instead we just invested and tried to get to know them the best. So he was really encouraged to see that we actually just wanted to get to know them. And it wasn't all about us. So I was super encouraged because that was our heart goal. That was our intention, was just get to know these kids. And I think we did a really good job. So what did I learn? I was challenged to step out of my comfort zone and try to show some genuine love and care for those new friends while I was there. But I also now know a little bit better. I don't have to do much besides just care for them. And God just takes care of so much. I was expecting Seth to say something about Nelson, but he, while we were there, came to faith, and it was a beautiful thing that I really don't think it was us, but I think our practice and the way we loved each other, he just decided to follow God while we were there, which was amazing. So last thing I wanted to say is, like I said, we're expecting a baby, so money is tight, and we're so grateful for the financial provision from you guys and the prayer. That means the world. We really couldn't have made it, and back without you. So I just wanted to thank you genuinely from my heart. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Paris, for anyone that doesn't know me. I've been going here for about a year and a half now, and I serve with the youth ministry, and then I recently started serving for kids ministry as well. I had never been on a missions trip before, so I was very grateful to have been given this opportunity and just serve alongside these like incredible people who I love so much. And my role for the missions trip was, I was a group leader slash cabin leader. So me and Katrina co-led one of the breakout sessions, or the groups that we'd go into after like worship and sermons, like Eli and Seth did. So we did that, and then I stayed in the cabin with the girls, and we just hung out the whole time, which was really, really cool. So one of our main priorities with going down to Puerto Rico was to build long-lasting and deep connections. And Mike actually asked us all to pray for fast, deep connections. And I feel like God really provided for that. One thing I really saw God moving in with this retreat was unity. And what I mean by that was, it wasn't just the connections that we made with the kids, but it was also the connections that were already formed became stronger between the kids. And that was really, really cool to see. The friendships that were made there, it just happened so quickly. We didn't have a whole lot of time. There was only about one full day and then like two half days that we had with everybody. And so going into that, it was a little nerve-wracking because we don't know any of them going into that. But the first day, I just felt like I became friends with all of the girls. They were just so warm and welcoming, and it was so easy to talk to them. And they were just so willing to talk to us. I feel like I learned a lot about them in a short amount of time, and I'm so grateful for that. And one of the girls I feel like I really connected with, I saw a really cool moment from her, was she was struggling with some of the kids there, and she had a falling out with a lot of them. And that was really hard on her. But she had a two-hour conversation with one of the kids, and it was just simply repair work. It was her admitting her faults, where she had gone wrong, just repairing that relationship. And I thought that was, it was such a cool thing to see her humility going into that and asking for forgiveness. And I feel like I learned a lot about that. And one thing that Katrina kind of touched on was our theme for the camp. We had started out with Next Steps was our theme. So how are the kids going to follow God after they graduate? How are they going to be pursuing God in that way? Then we moved on to Follow Me, which was, we were talking about Peter following Jesus and laying down like his life basically and just following God. But towards the end, it kind of became clear that our real theme for that camp was do not be afraid. And her fearlessness of going into that conversation and having that confrontation was just, it was so amazing to me, because one thing that Mike had asked us to do before we left was to prepare our testimonies, just in case we had the opportunity to share. And a really cool moment was I prepared my testimony on fear. So my fear of failing, my fear of not being good enough, everything that I doubted, and how God helped me through that. And so for our theme to just transition into that, it just, also my fear of talking in front of other people, so if I'm shaking, I'm sorry, oh my gosh. But it was such a cool moment to see how we went into the missions retreat with our own plan and how we wanted to talk to these kids. And God provided a way of what he wanted for us. It wasn't our plan in the end. It was what he had done for us. And so I just thought it was cool how everything works out for God's plans. And it's not our will, it's his, really, in the end. So thank you guys so much for letting me go on this missions trip. It was an amazing experience, and I'm so grateful for all the prayers and the support that everyone gave. So thank you.
Well, I can make you guys sit behind me the entire time I talk, but I don't think I will. But as they go down off the stage, could you guys just give them another hand for what they did? You know, there's a whole slew of things that I could talk about. This was my fourth trip to Puerto Rico, and I foresee more of these coming in the future. The Lord has done a lot in the time that we've been there, and we went right after, my first trip down was right after COVID, and so we went down, I think it was 2021 was my first time, but since last February of 2025, I've now been three times in the last year, and we're seeing the Lord do more and more just through mentoring and encouragement, and I think that the thing that these guys alongside me really learned was presence, just being present, longing to see the Lord use you, being willing to show up and be bold enough to go. And so if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, they left me time. You guys gave me time. I'm excited. Ephesians chapter 3, I just want to share. They're like, not at second service. Just share briefly, and then we will take communion together. As you're finding Ephesians chapter 3, I just wanted to share with you guys just how special the Lord worked through, and the special ways that the Lord worked through this leadership team. As the retreat came to a close on Sunday afternoon, it had already begun to stir. I'd already had some really awesome conversations with some kids there. This probably just as well as I do. I've taught in a Christian school before. We know that there are non-Christian kids that attend Christian schools. And so it became apparent that some of these kids did not know the Lord. They were very open about that. And our conversations are continuing. I have numbers and contacts for some of these seniors, and I've been talking to them almost daily since returning, just talking through different things that they're considering and their family histories and what's holding them back from receiving Christ. So continue to pray for them. Some of these kids, I believe their time is coming. I feel like the Lord's drawing them. But one of the things that really blessed me on this trip is one of the young men that I had developed a relationship through the retreat with, and I had met him the week prior, came up to me before the retreat was over and was like, "So what are your guys' plans?" I said, "Well, we have one down day before we head back." Our team kind of came in, got right to work, went hard for 3 days, and then had one day to kind of rejuvenate and rest. I said, "I think I'll probably just take him to the beach and let him relax and rest for a day, and then we're going to head out." And he's like, "Well, there's a group of us that are going to the beach because there's no school on Mondays. Like, can we all hang out together?" And almost half the retreat showed up and met us for this beach day. This is the powerful way that the Lord worked through this team, was to connect them to these seniors so much that they wanted to spend a free day with us and hang out with us, and we ended up spending almost the entire day together. I've never seen that before. I've never gone and helped with a group of people and seen them want to hang out with you on the day off. That's really special. And because of the technology of our time and our day, it's really amazing to see the reality that we can stay in touch and continue to mentor and care for them and encourage them as they move forward in whatever the Lord's going to take them on to as they graduate this spring. But this was the thing that I just wanted to share with you guys, and then we'll take communion together. As I thought about being present and just being willing to go, it's not just to the mission field. It's not just to a place where we don't live. God calls us to presence where we are. He calls us to presence where we are right now. And sometimes we can start receding back and get almost into just an autopilot mode where we're just going through the motions of going to work, going to school, doing the necessary things, and we start to get those blinders on. We're not really looking around us. Our peripheral disappears. We're not really considering the people around us in the sense of their salvation and what the Lord might want to do. And so my encouragement for us this morning is that we would be present again. And by presence, I mean aware, that the Lord would give us an awareness to those who are lost and hurting around us wherever we are. We don't have to go to an island. We don't have to go to another continent. God has people in our lives right now that we can minister to. There are lost in our county. There are people who are unsaved in our workplaces and in our schools. There may be people unsaved in our church that are just still trying to figure out where their faith really lies. And God has called us to be present, to be boldly present, to step out of our comfort zone and step out of our cliques and step out of the things that we would normally do and be aware of what God might be calling us to do in the moment. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, as I was reading this last week, this is the verse that really struck me as encouraging for us. I'm going to read from verse 14 in chapter 3, and I'll read down through the end. And Paul's reading is writing this to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." If we can wrap our minds even partially around what he's calling us to in that text, how empowered are we through the Spirit? How enabled and how able are we to do the work that God's called us to do? And then he says this is what he does when we're filled in this way. Filled with the fullness of God. Look at verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful encouragement for the body. God is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to his power that works in us. So what's holding back the work of God? What's holding back what he desires to do in our everyday lives? It's never him. His power is present and ready to work in us. It's up to us to be present. To be present, to present ourselves, as Paul would say in Romans 12, as living sacrifices. To present our bodies and our lives in a way that says, "I'm just ready to do whatever you want to do with me today." And this is what we learn oftentimes when we step out of our comfort zone, is that we just don't have the option to find our groove. We don't have the option to find our rhythm. So many people talk about rhythm. I love rhythm. I really do. Give me that 4-4, something I can count to. I like that. You give me jazz, I like to listen to it. I don't want to play it. But when you think about our lives and what God calls us to, so many times our rhythms become the constructs that prevent us from being used by God. We start looking, well, it needs to be this way, and it needs to be that way. And we start constructing this very beautiful box of religion for God to operate inside of. Well, Lord, this is how you work because we said so. Why don't we just present ourselves willing? Look at the scriptures and do what it says and say, you know what? I actually believe that you can do above and beyond all that I could ask or think. If we lived in that reality where we wake up tomorrow morning, or let's not wait till tomorrow, where we walk out of here today and say, God is able to do above and beyond anything I could ask or think, how would that change the way we pray? How would that change the way we minister to other people? How would that change the way that we put our arms around our loved ones and encourage them, or we look for people who are suffering and hurting or lost? This is what I hope this team brings back to energize the church with, is we saw God do beyond what we could ask or think, and it wasn't because we showed up with this great plan. It wasn't this beautiful, ornate box that we're like, Lord, we just need you to fill that box and this retreat's going to work. It had nothing to do with that. It was the fact that God's people showed up ready to work. We were ready to serve, we were ready to work, and God blessed it. And you know what's amazing is this passage calls our attention to this. Because we can look at that and say, look at all this that God can do through us. You can. And we make it all about ourselves, right? Yes, I can. But think about this. It says, to him be the glory in verse 21. In the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And we were like, yeah, amen. We all want to echo that. So let it be. But when you look at this text, it's for his glory. And when we present ourselves, not as having all the answers, not as having the perfect plan, but ready to serve, ready to do whatever he asked me to do, then we can, as Paul goes on in chapter 4, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. We walk in a manner worthy of the calling when we present ourselves to serve him for his glory with no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so I just want to encourage you, church, like sometimes we need to be reminded of these things. We start looking and go, well, God's only going to work in this way because that's the only way he's worked before. Right, that's why Jesus spoke healing. That's why Jesus was touched and healed people. That's why Jesus spit in people's faces. I'm not going to do it. But you understand what I'm saying. Stop putting God in a box. Just present yourself willing. Willing to do whatever he's calling you to do. And he will work above and beyond anything we could ask or think. And it will be for his glory because we can't take any credit. Someone goes, boy, you really must have had a great plan in Puerto Rico. No, I didn't know what I was doing. I just showed up. I felt like the Lord told us to go, so we went. And he may call you to go in a similar way, or he might call you tomorrow. In fact, he probably has to go to work. If you wake up in the morning like, I don't think God's calling me to go to work today. You should question that. But if God's calling us to go to work, to go to school, to serve our families, whatever it is, then show up ready to serve him. Remember what he said in Colossians 3 when he says, do everything as unto Christ. Everything that you do, you're doing for him. Let him get the glory. It's his. Thank you so much for sending this group, for allowing me to spend some really focused time with these youth leaders. For allowing BJ and I to be in the field together. We've never done that. BJ and I have never gone on an outreach like way far. We've done youth stuff together. We've never gone on an outreach like this before. We road trip to Mexico once. That was fun. But we have done youth camps and such, but this was such a unique experience to watch the Lord erase cultural barriers, to erase language barriers, and to allow us to connect with these seniors who I think God's really going to work through powerfully. Thank you for letting us go. Thank you for allowing us to spend that time together. It's all for him. It's all for our Savior. It's all for Jesus. It's for his glory. And so let's remember Christ together this morning. As we prepare to take communion, I just want to take a moment to pray for our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico. When we share communion, it's a unifying meal. It's us coming to a common ground where we share need for the body and the blood of Jesus. And we have brothers and sisters in this place that we love dearly who are sharing in that need this morning. And so I want to pray over them. I want to pray that the Lord would unite us in spirit with them, that he would keep them present on our hearts and minds, that he would continue to keep the channels of communication open so that we could continue to minister, and God willing, that they would come and visit and share their stories here in this church. Father, we come to you as we prepare to receive communion, and it may seem so far away and so distant to have brothers and sisters in a place like Puerto Rico, but Lord, we are knit together with them. They're our family. And Lord, I thank you for the bonds that you've given us. Lord, I want to lift up Kevin and Nikki Cooper, especially, Lord, this morning. Having come back to the States now, but traveling back again soon, we thank you for, Lord, the friendship that we have with them. We thank you, Lord, that you have drawn us closer and closer and given us the ability to work alongside them. Lord, I pray for Kevin's health, that you would continue to help him heal from his surgery. Pray for Nikki, that she'd be able to continue to manage her schedule. And Lord, thank you for the connections that they've given us with these churches, with these wonderful seniors at Puerto Rico Christian School. Thank you, Lord, for all the students that we got to share with at the school through the assembly this last week. God, I just pray that we would continue to see you work and continue to bind us together. Lord, as we come together, we recognize that your body and your blood, your sacrifice, unites the church. We come recognizing that we are nothing without you. Jesus, that you are the vine and we are the branches, and as we prepare our hearts to take the bread and to take the cup, we just recognize that common need. Jesus, we are nothing, nothing, nothing without you. You are everything to us. And we love you. And we thank you that we were given the ability to love you, Lord, because you have first loved us. Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take this communion, maybe there's someone that we don't feel unified with. Maybe there's someone that we are struggling to feel unified with. Lord, I pray that we would bring that to you. We would seek restoration, reconciliation. Lord, that we would confess sin and repent of sin if there's sin in our hearts, and ask that there would be unity in the church. For you are the head and we are the body. We want to follow your lead. We want to be solely and completely yours. So Lord, prepare our hearts as we pray, as we sing, to take communion together. Give us ears to hear.